This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Eliminate bags under your eyes in minutes with Instantly Ageless from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump's defending them, but China says it will retaliate against an increase in U.S. tariffs on Chinese goods. The U.S. hiked tariffs on $200 billion worth of them, went from 10% to 25% last night. The Trump administration hiking the tariffs after trade talks started breaking down several days ago.
We were getting very close to a deal, then they started to renegotiate the deal. We can't have that.
This morning, Republican Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri says he agrees with Trump's move.
They cannot build their middle class and worse, their military, on the backs of American farmers and American manufacturers and American workers.
He was speaking to NBC News. North Korean state news says Kim Jong-un has ordered his military to be at full combat posture after the U.S. said it seized a large North Korean cargo ship for carrying an illegal shipment of coal. This is USA Radio News.
Liberty Mutual Insurance presents
and Doug. Is that your pet Emu?
He's my partner, Limu. And we're here to tell you that Liberty Mutual customizes your car insurance so you only pay for what you need.
So is he only an Emu because it rhymes with Limu, as in Liberty Mutual?
Well, I wonder.
So this is just a clever way to get people to remember Liberty Mutual, huh?
Kinda.
Liberty.
Only pay for what you need at libertymutual.com.
Underwritten by Liberty Mutual Insurance Company and affiliates. Equal housing insurer. State laws apply.
With Amazon Music, a voice is all you need.
Won't you stop your crying? I know that you're trying. Everything's gonna be okay.
Alexa, play Maren Morris.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Won't you stop your crying?
Get unlimited access to over 50 million songs. Download the Amazon Music app today.
President Trump slamming James Comey after the former FBI director suggested the president could be prosecuted after he leaves office. Comey also saying during a CNN town hall last night that Attorney General William Barr is acting like Trump's personal lawyer.
It doesn't make me happy to say this, but I think he has lost most of his reputation with the way he's conducted himself.
The president tweeting afterwards, Comey is a disgrace and that he brought the FBI down, adding both Republicans and Democrats thought he should be fired. Inflation at the consumer level up slightly month to month and more significantly year to year. Figures just released by the Labor Department showing the CPI ticked up 0.3% last month thanks to rising prices for gasoline, rent, and health care. And the CPI increased 2% even since April of last year. The 19-year-old suspected gunman in the California synagogue shooting now facing over 100 hate crime charges. And this is USA Radio News.
With a recession ending, if you've been putting off building your business, now is the time to act. General Steel will meet or beat any price on a pre-engineered steel building of the same size and specifications. Act now, before steel prices go up. So call us today for free information.
Call 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290. 800-965-1290.
The Alabama Senate is delaying a vote on a bill to ban abortions after an uproar over exceptions for rape and incest. The State House passing the bill last week, but the Republican-controlled Senate abruptly removed a rape and incest exception from the bill without allowing a roll call vote. After some heated debate between minority Democrats and Republicans, the Senate President Pro Tem moved to delay the vote on the bill until next week. The bill's sponsor saying she wanted the bill to be challenged and forced up the court system until the Supreme Court had to revisit Roe v. Wade. Missouri House Republicans reversing a move to allow public funds to pay in-state tuition for illegal immigrants. Earlier this week, a House and Senate conference committee moved to strike budget language that forbids giving undocumented students money for college. Yesterday, the Missouri Republican-led House voted to affirm the restrictive language rather than take it out. The Senate will now debate whether the proposal will go back to the conference committee. And a judge in Palm Beach, Florida, is sealing secretly recorded videos of New England Patriots owner Robert Kraft in a Florida prostitution case. More than 100 hours of recording will be kept under wraps, at least for now. The videos allegedly show women providing sexual services to dozens of clients, including the 77-year-old Kraft. Find us online at usaradio.com. For USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Life insurance is one of those things that just about everybody needs, but few people actually have. Hey, if you die unexpectedly without life insurance, guess what? You'll leave your family with even a bigger mess. Life insurance will help replace your family's income. It'll help cover burial expenses. Life insurance can even help pay off debt like credit cards and medical bills. Life insurance can even pay for college. And if you own a business and you die, life insurance can help your business from collapsing. It can even help cover estate taxes. Life insurance has never been more affordable and needed. Plus, you can always shop around even if you have a plan and save some money. So call the Life Insurance Quote Line right now for free pricing information.
800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. 800-915-9164. That's 800-915-9164.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
We better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on.
Welcome back, America. 6 minutes after the top of the hour, I am Bill Martinez, and we've got Dr. Peter Kreef back with us. Always good to be talking with him. We're going to be talking about his book, Symbol or Substance. It's a dialogue on the Eucharist with C.S. Lewis, Billy Graham, and J.R.R. Tolkien. Dr. Kreef, always good to have you with us. How are you doing, sir?
Fine. Good to be here.
Hey, the book, Symbol or Substance, what motivated you to write this book?
The realization that such a dialogue or trialogue may actually have taken place.
Mm-hmm.
Lewis and Graham knew and admired each other, although there's no record that they ever met. And Graham wanted to meet Lewis, sent some men to scout him out. And when he was in England, nobody knew whether a secret meeting may have taken place or not. Well, these three great men had three very different views of the Eucharist, the Anglican, the Catholic, and the Evangelical. So it was a dialogue made in heaven, whether it occurred on earth or not.
Almost sounds like a comedy bit, right? You got an Anglican, a Protestant, and a Catholic, you know, coming to a room together, right? Yeah, I was going to say, and but I didn't want people to think we were being irreverent by putting them in the bar. But yeah, it kind of has that kind of opening. But you know, I love how you treated this because I think in a sense knowing what I know, or I think I know about C.S. Lewis and J.R.R. Tolkien and Billy Graham, you did this within the context of their personality and having a conversation, dutifully respecting one another and in pursuit of the truth regarding the issue of the Eucharist.
Yes, and I've done the same before with Lewis. I was a little leery of my ability to do it with Billy Graham because I don't know him as well, but I admire him enormously. Yeah. And I've gotten more kudos for the Graham part than for any other, so I think it worked.
Yeah, I guess you hit it spot on then. Very good. Now, but so the idea of symbol or substance, as you say, you've done this with C.S. Lewis before in this kind of fictional scenario, and so as you were coming up with this concept, why the Eucharist?
Well, because it was a central issue in the Reformation. It split Protestants from each other as well as from Catholics. It was a hot-button issue because whoever's wrong is very wrong. If Catholics are wrong, then they're idolaters, very stupid idolaters, confusing bread and wine with God incarnate. And if Catholics are right, then Protestants are missing out on the most perfect union with their common Lord that's possible in this life.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, and it's interesting, I will say this, Dr. Kreef, you know, being raised Catholic, and I found this book to be really interesting, and it really, you know, challenged me on this issue of transubstantiation. The Catholics believe that when the priest prays, you know, prays over the Eucharist and the wine, that it embodies Christ himself. And this was part and parcel of the discussion, you know, at the Last Supper, where Jesus said, you know, this is my blood, and giving the disciples his the chalice of wine to drink, and, you know, this is my bread, this is my body represented in the bread, and often as you do this in remembrance of me. And, you know, for Catholics, that would have been the first act of transformation, transubstantiation that occurred. And there is something very powerful for me as a Catholic, and I would say that having engaged in Protestant Protestant experiences of the Eucharist and communion, very different than the Catholics. And there is something, I believe, and I've always maintained, there's something can be shared and benefited through the experience. I think in certain cases, in my experience, it's been that Protestants, I think, have a great idea of Father God, Abba God, and the Catholics can appreciate that. And I believe the Catholics have such a reverence and holiness and awe of God that I believe the Protestants could appreciate. So maybe we're blindfolded a little bit, filling different parts of the elephant, so to speak. Is that fair?
Well, it's certainly true that anyone who opens his eyes a little more will see more. Mm-hmm. And if you see more, you will be able to love more.
Yes.
And if Protestants and Catholics worship the same Lord, then despite their very serious difference, when they listen to each other, they can learn something. Mm-hmm. If they're honest enough to keep their eyes open.
Well, you know, I guess at the end of all this, and this discussion that takes place, and it runs, I mean, the full exercise, as you say, Peter, and I'm so grateful that you did this, because I believe that this will cause Catholics to, as you say, see more and maybe appreciate more about the Eucharist.
In my experience, dialogues between people of different religions work only when both sides sincerely and fiercely defend their own view, rather than just say, well, let's just hold hands and say that we're saying the same thing in different words.
Mm-hmm. No, exactly. And I think that this was an excellent exercise, you know, to go through this process, even though symbolic in many ways, because the three were not there and you weren't there necessarily to document. You're taking their personalities and saying, if the three got together and were discussing, and of course you have a fourth involved in the conversation as well, but primarily it's C.S. Lewis, J.R.R. Tolkien, and Billy Graham, you know, discussing whether or not the Eucharist is a symbol or actual substance.
Also, I wrote it because such dialogue is all too rare in our time.
Nice.
We're increasingly shrill and yelling at each other or ignoring each other rather than believing in an objective truth and trying to find out exactly what it is. Mm-hmm. That's a shame. So I wanted to restore that amicable disagreement.
Yeah, and I think you did that effectively. In the book Symbol or Substance, a dialogue on the Eucharist with the three that we've mentioned. And you're exactly right. Our culture is far. This is a bit of a challenge for our culture to embrace, that you would have people with disparate viewpoints and feeling, you know, as you say, that they are right in each of their viewpoints. And can you have a decent conversation, as you say in the book, in love, in search for the truth, right?
Yes, and a presupposition of that kind of dialogue is belief in objective truth. If you don't believe that there is a real universal objective truth outside of everybody, then you identify yourself with your truth and your opponent with his truth, and to disagree about what is true is to throw bricks at each other personally.
Right. And as we have learned experientially, it doesn't work very good. Nothing is accomplished other than we've just irritated the heck out of somebody and decided we're not going to have them over for Thanksgiving dinner.
And unfortunately, that's what happened around the time of the Reformation.
Yes. So
both sides were very shrill. For instance, even among Protestants, mm-hmm. Luther and Zwingli not only excommunicated each other, but called each other devil worshippers.
Exactly.
For believing or not believing in the presence.
Dr. Kreef, we've got to take a quick break. So when we come back, we'll pick it up from there, okay?
Okay.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Were you scammed into signing a timeshare contract? And did you miss the part that said you have to pay for your great idea? Not only for the rest of your life, but when you're not here anymore, you get to pass this turkey onto your family for them to pay for the rest of their lives. Thanks, Dad. Don't burden your family down the road, and don't be stuck with expensive timeshare payments forever. Get out of your bad idea timeshare contract guaranteed or pay nothing. Call Resort Release today and learn for free how their timeshare exit team can help you legally exit your timeshare contract. They've helped thousands of people, and they're A-plus rated with a BBB. So if you feel scammed, get mad, and get out of your expensive timeshare contract right now, guaranteed. Call NOW.
800-485-2167. 800-485-2167. 800-485-2167. That's 800-485-2167.
If Ernest Hemingway was alive today, would he say this to you?
Shakespeare, Mark Twain, Edgar Allan Poe, all great writers. And after reading your book, I simply must add you to the list.
Wait, you don't have a book yet. So make a free call to Page Publishing. Their expert staff can help you turn your book idea into a real book, a masterpiece that could someday make the bestseller list in hard copy and digitally all across the world. Page Publishing can help you completely take your idea for a book, write it, and publish it. So if you want to join the ranks of some of the most famous authors in the world, call now for a free information kit. Turn your book idea into publishing gold. Make a free call right now to Page Publishing.
800-596-2154. 800-596-2154. 800-596-2154. That's 800-596-2154.
Martinez Live.
Go, hey, 19 minutes. minutes after the top of the hour, fresh and independent, just the way you like to hear from us. Bill Martinez with Dr. Peter Kreef. We're continuing our conversation regarding his book, Symbol or Substance, A Dialogue on the Eucharist with C.S. Lewis, Billy Graham, and J.R.R. Tolkien. Suffice it to say, this is a book for all people of faith, to pick up and read and let it engage you. It will engage you. You imagine in this engaging fictional conversation, Dr. Kreef gives credible voices to C.S. Lewis, J.R. Tolkien, and Billy Graham as they discuss one of the most contentious questions in the history of Christianity. Is Jesus symbolically or substantially present in the Eucharist? And Dr. Kreef, as you were saying before the break, is that even amongst evangelicals or Protestants, and led by Luther, there was a lot of contention here in pursuit of the truth, and that was unfortunate because there were some issues there that certainly we can look back historically and see that there were some issues that Martin Luther had standing with.
Luther was actually closer to the Catholic position than to the current evangelical position. Mm-hmm. He did believe in the real presence, although he didn't believe that there was apostolic succession and that the priest had that power and that the church had the authority that it claims. Mm-hmm. But he believed in consubstantiation. It wasn't a transformation from bread and wine into the body and blood of Christ, but the body and blood of Christ were added to bread and wine, so both were present. As far as I know, that was a unique view. There had been heretics before, like Berenger of Tours, who reduced it to a symbol and said Christ was not really present. And there were the traditionalists who said, yes, he is really present. And the formula eventually became transubstantiation. Mm-hmm. But Luther had a kind of a third view in there. In fact, there's about a dozen different views of what happens at the Eucharist that divide Protestants even today.
Mm-hmm. Well, as you say, I guess as many people, when you really get into this topic, no doubt it is a very heavy topic that, what would you say, most people really, it's so beyond them that they just say, look, I just want to believe what I want to believe. And not to be an idolater, but just to, to love my God the way I want to love my God. Is there something wrong with that?
Well, most people are humble enough to realize that they're out of their depth when they're talking about God. Mm-hmm. So the need for authority, some sort of authority there, is very obvious. And most Christians at least accept the Bible as authority. And Anglicans as well as Catholics accept in different ways the church as authority because the church came before the Bible. Mm-hmm. So you can't just say, I give up, I'll believe what I want to believe, and I'll accept no authority at all except my own self, because you're making yourself God then.
Right, exactly. Yeah, not that I'm suggesting that, but I could see where that kind of thinking could lead to that, because at some point you're going to come to a crossroads and you're going to have to decide what is the authority. Is it the Word of God or is it the Church?
Actually, this issue of the presence of Christ in the Eucharist is very much like the other more famous issue that Lewis made famous with his Lord Liar or Lunatic argument. Here is a man who claims to be God. Mm-hmm. If he is, then he's God, and you must worship him. And if he's not, he's an idolater, and you must turn away from him. And in a cruel age, you crucify him, and in a less cruel age, you put him in a padded cell.
Right.
So with the Eucharist, if Christ is really present here, you bow down and worship him. Mm-hmm. And if not, you denounce that worship as idolatry. So that seems to be an extremely divisive issue, an either or.
Right. So where do we end up with this?
Well, in the dialogue, nobody gets converted and changes their mind. But they listen to each other, and they part as friends, and they know that there's something terribly important that all three have in common, despite their difference about the presence of Christ. Mm-hmm. Who is Christ? Is he God incarnate? Is he the Savior? Is he the object of worship? they all begin by saying yes to that, and they end by saying yes to that just as strongly, if not more strongly, despite their disagreements.
And you would have this sense that the three, departing as friends, decided, I mean, this is one of those questions that you continue to look for in your prayer and looking for revelation from God. I can imagine Billy Graham searching Scripture to find, support for his position. Tolkien and Lewis, again, in their resources, again, re-engaging that issue.
You can't ignore the question. It's obviously an important question if you are a Christian.
Right.
People have come to me saying, I'm on the fence. I don't know whether I should stay a Catholic or not. I don't know whether I should become a Catholic or not. And I say, well, here's an experiment. Go into a Catholic church sometime when nobody's around and nobody's watching you, and just pray and say, Jesus, is that you there, really? Mm-hmm. If so, draw me here. And if not, don't draw me here. And both sides will say, yeah, I have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And if he's really there and he wants you to come more in that direction, he will do something. And right. If he wants you to do the opposite, he'll do something.
Mm-hmm.
Most people pray just as a psychological exercise, it gives them comfort.
Right.
But it's a dialogue between two people, and that other person, being God, he does stuff to you when you pray. Right.
Without a doubt. Peter, I can tell you, with my journey, God has been... I could say typically merciful and very liberal with his grace toward me and allowing me to search, because I've gone through a search. I mean, after the Ecumenical Council and the major changes in the Catholic Church, I went on a search for God. I thought, okay, where do I find God? Because, my authority foundation of the church came into question. Because of some decisions that came down and I didn't reconcile them very well, and I felt, okay, I've got to pursue, the hard question here. And, of course, being raised Catholic and I'm grateful for the teaching and the dedication of nuns that raised me in so many ways and taught me along the way. Of course, I was taught during my years in school that, Martin Luther was, such a, he's a heretic and all these things that went with it, and a Protestant and after reading the book of Romans, I felt more aligned with Martin Luther. And and I said, gosh, I could have held the nail that he used to fix the 95 thesis in the Wittenberg door, the announcement to the Catholic Church that these are the problems. And then, of course, then you find out more and more about his dedication as a monk and his pursuit of God and the truth of God. I could definitely appreciate it. But I can tell you, that's what brought me. And, really engaged me with the Word of God as an authority source. And then, but then, kind of like what you just talked about, in going to a Catholic church, and for me, returning to a Catholic church and finding comfort in the Eucharist, like I wasn't able to get in any kind of Protestant engagement. I mean, maybe because I was raised a Catholic, because of the reverence and our approach to the Eucharist being so holy in that. And again, that's not a criticism of Protestants. It's just to say there's a difference there. And, to your point, that when you feel God calling you there, I guess that's, for me, has been my experience. So your words and admonishment are well taken. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, I am grateful that God is so patient with his brain-damaged children, us, all of us.
Without a doubt. Well, symbol or substance, as the author of this and this concept that you've put together here, Peter, what do you want the readers to take away from this?
The importance of the issue, the importance of seeking the truth, and the importance of loving each other as Christians, even when we differ radically.
Well, Dr. Peter Kreeft has been our guest. He's a professor of philosophy at Boston College, one of the most prolific and widely respected Christian authors today. His book, I highly recommend. You will not be able to put this down, and it's one of those books that you will keep close to you, and you will come back and revisit. At least this has been my experience. Symbol or Substance, A Dialogue on the Eucharist with C.S. Lewis, Billy Graham, and J.R.R. Tolkien. It'll be linked on our website at BillMartinezLive.com. Dr. Kreeft, as always, thank you so much for being with us.
This report is brought to you by Bank of America. Hispanic entrepreneurs are confident about their 2019 business outlook, according to the 2019 Bank of America Hispanic Small Business Owner Spotlight. A strong majority are planning for increased revenue, expansion, and long-term growth. However, low unemployment is creating obstacles for Hispanic business owners looking to recruit and retain talent. Elizabeth Romero, Small Business Executive at Bank of America.
Hispanic entrepreneurs are embracing a more confident outlook toward growth compared to their non-Hispanic peers. However, the ultra-competitive labor market has made hiring and retaining employees a significant challenge.
Optimism is also paving the way for future generations of Hispanic business owners. 34% of Hispanic entrepreneurs say their business has grown beyond their original vision, and 38% plan to pass their business on to their children. For more information, visit newsroom.bankofamerica.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
President Trump's defending them, but China says it will retaliate against an increase in U.S. tariffs on Chinese goods. The U.S. hiked tariffs on $200 billion worth of them, went from 10% to 25% last night. The Trump administration hiking the tariffs after trade talks started breaking down several days ago.
We were getting very close to a deal, then they started to renegotiate the deal. We can't have that.
This morning, Republican Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri says he agrees with Trump's move.
They cannot build their middle class and worse, their military, on the backs of American farmers and American manufacturers and American workers.
He was speaking to NBC News. North Korean state news says Kim Jong-un has ordered his military to be at full combat posture after the U.S. said it seized a large North Korean cargo ship for carrying an illegal shipment of coal. This is USA Radio News.
Get mom a great gift from Kohl's and get a little something for yourself. $10 Kohl's cash for every $50 spent. Give her a Philosophy Amazing Grace bath gift set, just $55, and get $10 Kohl's cash. Or a Diamond Heart pendant, only $109.99, and you'll get $20 Kohl's cash. Plus, take $10 off your $50 or more Mother's Day gift purchase. Thursday through Sunday at Kohl's. Select styles. $10 offer valid May 1st through 12th with promo code MOMSDAY10. Some exclusions apply. See store or Kohl's.com for details.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Ben Martinez.
People hang on his every word, even the prepositions. He could disarm you with his looks or his hands. Either way, he can speak French in Russian. He is the most interesting man in the world.
Stay listening, my friend. Phil Martinez Live.
I got to tell you, speaking French in Russian is really tough, especially these days. In the world of political correctness, I'm just saying, you've got to be careful. This bombshell that came out last night about Jerry Nadler's son. I don't know if you heard about this, but Jerry Nadler, who's head of the Judiciary Committee that is causing all these problems with Mueller and Trump, and it goes on and on. I think America has about had it, with this, with all these investigations that they're doing, because there's so much more that as a country united we could be affecting on behalf of the people. And to his credit, the president continues to stay focused on the job at hand. But meanwhile, Jerry Nadler's son, we find out, is working for a firm suing our president. What do you think? Should he recuse himself? Well, Jenny Beth Martin joins us now. Jenny, of course, the founder and president of the Tea Party Patriots. Jenny Beth, how are we doing?
I am great. It's so good to be with you, Bill.
Well, I want to talk, Jenny Beth, about what the president is doing about Iran. But real quick, I want to get your take on this. I mean, this whole morass of interconnectivity of, dastardly deeds and attack on our government, The way the woof and worf of it all, you know, Nadler and all the Democrats, and then you find out, well, his son is working, you know, for the firm, and, you know, it's just like, wow, you know, is it any wonder that people's brains are bruised over all this overload of information?
Well, that's a good way to think of it, that it is an overload of information. But there are a few simple key things that it all goes back to. And one is that there is this entitled ruling class, establishment class in Washington, D.C., who look out for themselves. They take care of themselves. They get their sons to jobs. They go after investigate. You know, they're all just, it's all intertwined. Mm-hmm. And then they attack people like the president. And if it weren't the president, you know, if it's not the president, first we also see the attacks that they have against the NRA. Mm-hmm. We've seen the attacks that they had against other groups and people in the Obama years. Mm-hmm. So they continue to do this. They go after anyone who is challenging their way of life. Mm-hmm. And right now, certainly, President Trump is the biggest challenge to their way of life.
Well, he threatens the status quo. I mean, he's come into D.C., and D.C. is like it's like a whole other culture. All on its own, as you say, the ruling class, if anything is bipartisan in D.C., it is that elite ruling class. There's no doubt that that has been clear. So, and I always hate that thing. Well, you know, it's a both sides issue, but the reality is anything, if anything's bipartisan, it is that ruling class structure that they find their lane and their acceptability to operate in, so that way they don't stress anybody out, and they still get invited to those special cocktail parties, right?
Oh, they really do. And there are people in both sides of the aisle who are part of it. And they want to be able to go out in the evenings and have their kids in school together and whatever else they do. I don't quite know all the things they do outside of just the implications I see in my own life because I don't live there. Thank you.
Right. Well, it's a special club. It's a unique special club, you know, just for them. And I think that that's why, in part, Bob Mueller had to form the report, his report, the way he did. He knew there was nothing there. And what's coming out, Jenny Beth, is that he knew a lot sooner than he reported, held back that information. And again, you know, what are we running into? I mean, the whole issue of the Mueller investigation was talking about the breakdown in integrity of our election process and that there was a threat of outside influence. But we're not even talking about the threat of domestic influence. And dare I say that his holding back information that there was nothing there with the Russian collusion and he drug it out beyond the 2018 elections, could you argue that that information would have been helpful in allowing the Republicans to hold on to the House?
Yes, absolutely it would have been helpful. Look at how President Trump's approval ratings they're still fluctuating, of course, but they are on an upward trend, it appears, right now, since the Mueller report finally did come out and the conclusions from the report came out a few weeks before that. People know that President Trump is not a perfect man. So the part in book B in the second book of the Mueller report isn't going to be so as shocking. We hear the day-to-day drama on the front page of the New York Times and the Washington Post that happens in the White House constantly. So none of that's really that shocking.
Right.
The thing that I think was most shocking is, wait a minute, there was not Russian collusion with the Trump campaign. He wasn't actually conspiring with Russia to fix the election. We all, as Americans, should be very concerned about foreign influence in our election.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that what we see with the Democrats right now, what I read in the Mueller report is that they wanted to create division and discord in our country.
Mm-hmm.
And if that was ultimately their goal, more than anything else, if that was their goal, we're helping them succeed in that. And the Democrats and even Mueller have helped them succeed in that because they've taken the things that have happened online and the innuendo and just blown it even bigger. further out of proportion. Mm-hmm. So we have to guard against that. But I frankly think that the Democrats and some of the people involved in the investigation were causing much more discord and division in our country than President Trump or the Russians.
Well, you know, again, I think it's reasonable, Jenny Beth. I mean, to consider, here's Donald Trump. Donald Trump's a businessman. He walks away from his business, compromises, I would say, at least 50% of his brand. He and his family, Ivanka, what they have put on the line to serve this country. And businessmen go in to solve problems. And he sees America in a spiral, and they've got a lot of problems here in River City, so he's got ideas on how to fix them, and so far, so good. I mean, he's been moving along in the right direction. I mean, look what the economy, and I mean, we're not talking theoretical. These are practical things that are happening because of policies that he's embraced and what his leadership has brought to bear, you know, not only on our economy, what's happening with our energy spectrum overseas, our standing. Again, we are respected internationally. We lost a lot of respect under the Obama administration. So he's already made a difference, but this is, he's had to do this with his hands tied behind his back because he's had little help, as you mentioned, even from people in his own party, what the Democrats have done to resist what Donald Trump is bringing to bear on the Beltway. They don't like it. This, you know, our country has been due for some sort of Chapter 11 adjustment. All these favors and all these sacred cows that have been allowed to exist and perpetuate in our government that are part and parcel to the $21 trillion of debt that we have, this has all been part of the program, and they don't want Donald Trump there because he's upsetting their party. And, you know, that they've been happy, the cocktail parties and everything that they enjoy. And Donald Trump's exposing them for what they are. And so, look at, you know, as people have said time and again, we've got the 2020 elections there around the corner. So, America, wake up and vote wisely with some discernment to understand what these 2018 elections did to this president in terms of slowing down the process. I mean, without this resistance, where would America, where could we be right now? Could we be looking at a 5 or 6% GDP? Could we be making some headway with illegal immigration? Could we be making some great headway with health care? I mean, the possibilities are endless, Jenny Beth, are they not?
They really are. And this investigation and the attacks against President Trump took up more than 2 years of his presidency. It's more than half of his first term in office. But he's still done so much despite that. And we have to help him continue to do even more throughout the rest of his first term, because it's a very short amount of time each term in office that he has. And we have to make sure we get the most that we can out
exactly.
of that. It's incredible what we've already received. Imagine what more we can get.
Dan Perkins here for your Songs and Stories for Soldiers, Veterans Tip of the Day. The VA recently reported that 70% of all veteran suicides are by vets who have never been to the VA. There's a saying, when a person's name is written down where people can see it, that person will never be forgotten. Many of our veterans, past and present, feel that nobody cares about them. We will be holding the first Songs and Stories for Soldiers Veterans Memorial Tournament. All the proceeds will go to purchase MP3 players for veterans. I know that veterans and their families all over the country will hear this announcement and not be able to play at the golf outing, but want to help. So here's your veterans tip of the day. If you have a family member or a friend that is a veteran, for $100 you can honor them and make sure they will never be forgotten. Go to songsandstoriesforsoldiers.us and sponsor a tea or a green in their name. Keep their memory alive. This has been your veterans tip of the day.
Money, money, money. Money. You gotta have it. When you need it, what do? If you don't have a rich uncle, call LendingTree. With us, hundreds of banks compete for your business, so you'll get loans with competitive interest rates, and in some cases, with no closing costs. So here's the deal. If you need money, call us. Do you want to refinance your current loan? Are you 62 or older and interested in a reverse mortgage? Then call LendingTree now. 888-794-1645. 888-794-1645. We've closed over $250 billion in loans. We know what we're doing and can help you. Call right now for a free quote. 888-794-1645. 888-794-1645. 888-794-1645. That's 888-794-1645. NMLS number 1136.
Hi, my name is Lily. My mom and dad used to fight about money all the time. Then one day, I heard them talking about this guy, some uncle I never knew, called Uncle Sam. Well, they say this Uncle Sam guy wanted them to pay him like a gazillion dollars, and they didn't have a gazillion dollars. So they called this company they heard on the radio called the Tax Doctor. And the Tax Doctor worked with Uncle Sam's people. I think they're called the IRS. And they're able to work it out so my mom and dad didn't have to pay Uncle Sam very much money at all. So now mom and dad are happy, and I'm happy too. Thanks, Tax Doctor.
If you owe $10,000 or more to the IRS or state, call now and pay less.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.
Okay, so a watch is good, and some jewelry. Better grab some flowers, too.
Hey, what you doing?
Mother's Day, remember?
Oh, yeah.
So I'm making lists, gotta plan a trip to the store, then need to save all the receipts in case she wants to return.
You know there's an easier way, right?
I'm guessing you do?
Yes, I'm gonna show you the easy, quick way to shop for mom, and save 30% at sunshine-pillows.com.
Ah, pillows. Mm-hmm. Great idea.
Oh, not just pillows. Sunshine-pillows.com has the best selection of custom heated neck wraps and heated neck pillows.
She always says she has stress.
And aches and pains. Right? Look, they have hot and cold therapy products.
Ooh, it says we can buy any select combo up to $150 and get 30% off.
Yep, just use this promo code MOM30.
You know, for a little brother, you're pretty smart.
Get something for every mom on your list and save 30% when you spend up to $150 on any select combo. Now through Mother's Day only at sunshine-pillows.com. Use promo code MOM30. Sunshine-pillows.com, your complete line of therapeutic pillows and pads.
For more information and the interviews you love, go to BillMartinezLive.com.
Hey, we're givers, and they're all right there. Download them. Listen at your own convenience, okay? 14 minutes before the top of the hour, I want to thank Dr. Adam Sonneben with Northwestern Medical. Boy, some great programming that they're doing there in terms of, you know, communications. I think in some ways going to be a great example and will spread, you know, throughout the country. By the way, if you'd like some more information there, you go to NM, that's NancyMary.org, like Northwestern Medical. nm.org/tumorcerebral, and all the information is right there that Dr. Adam Sonneben had shared with us. Want to talk about the measles outbreak. You know, we hear more and more about what's going on. According to one report, measles cases in 2019, from January 1 to May the 3rd of this year, 764 individual cases of measles have been confirmed in 23 states. In Europe alone, outbreaks have infected 34,000. A travel advisory is in effect. New York City is citing 84 people for refusing to vaccinate amid the measles outbreak, according to CNBC. And New Mexico Health Department prepares for potential measles outbreak. So measles is what we're hearing about, and we've got our outbreak analyst with us, Dr. Robert Cohen, a 34-year Army vet, a physician, scientist, and world traveler, poverty reduction expert, and creator and host of the Demo Crisis podcast. Rob, welcome to the show. How are you?
Thanks for having me back, Bill.
Hey, good to have you here. Update us on this worst measles outbreak that we're experiencing in decades.
Yeah, so this is really, I think, the worst measles has got in the United States since the United States declared it eliminated in 2000. And actually, it was declared eliminated from the entire Western Hemisphere in 2016. And yet, just a couple years later, it is now, you know, over 700 cases. We'll probably get over 1,000 in the United States. In Venezuela, it's infecting indigenous communities that have never been exposed to it before and causing a very high mortality rate there. And actually, we're in the midst of a worldwide measles outbreak. You mentioned Europe. There are 70,000 cases in Ukraine and Madagascar. Wow. And there are other countries with a lot as well. This really terrible disease that we had once almost eliminated, certainly eliminated from the Western Hemisphere, and maybe could have across the world, is coming back, and it makes you really, really sick. People don't remember because they got the vaccine, just how sick this can make you.
Well, I guess that's the question. Why?
Well, it makes you really sick because it's a pretty serious virus. I mean, it gives you a fever of 105, one in 1,000 kids with measles will get a severe brain infection as a consequence and will die. And then, thanks to antibiotics, if you get a pneumonia from it, we can probably cure you now. But even tough people that they get measles, they'll lie down sick for a week. And also the after effects of measles, they don't go away. It kind of shocks your immune system a little bit, and it actually makes you more susceptible to other diseases as well. Now, if your question is, why is it roaring back? I'd love
exactly.
to hear that.
That was my intent, was why is it coming back? Because I know that we have a couple of things in play here. We've got a very loose immigration system. We've got a lot of migrants coming here. The CDC has been warning us for decades on this issue, seems to be ignored. And the other thing, of course, is parents are saying, I don't want to inoculate my kids.
Yeah, so in addition to an epidemic of measles, we also have an epidemic of misinformation. So for the last 20 years, there's been some misinformation on the internet that the measles vaccine is bad for kids. And I would actually love to, doctors always get on TV and they lecture and they say, measles is, the vaccine does not cause autism, so vaccinate your kids. They never explain why. So I'd love to take some time to explain how we know that the vaccine does not cause autism. And also, you mentioned immigration. This particular measles outbreak started from a child who was unvaccinated, who went to Israel, caught measles in it, an American child who caught measles in Israel and then came back and brought it to New York City, where it's been brewing since, I believe, late last year. So, but it's definitely true that in a globalized world, things can get on an airplane and move very quickly.
Okay. So, and I think that's interesting that they're able to figure out that this is all the result of this one child going to Israel, an American citizen going to Israel, coming back home and infecting, New York. I mean, it is sweeping New York right now, right? All because of this one child.
Yeah, so the measles is an incredibly infectious virus. It's one of the most that you can get, for just as a frame of reference. Every person with the flu, if they have the flu, they will infect four other people. That's called the reproductive rate. Measles, the number is 16. So every person with measles will infect 16 other children. And so you need a very high rate of vaccination to keep something like that in check. You need it to be over 95%. For those that like math, it's one over the reproductive number. Unfortunately, because of the misinformation about vaccines recently, which I'd love to take a minute to talk about,
yes,
and how
please.
We know that vaccines are safe, now we're well down below that 95%. And that's why measles is coming back. We need to get vaccination rates back over 95%. Now, how do we know that the vaccine does not cause autism? So with this was proposed by a physician who has since had his license taken away in the 90s. He claimed on a case series of 12 patients that he had seen a link between getting the vaccine and then developing signs of autism. So the medical, if that were true, it would be really terrible. So the medical community took that claim very seriously, and they've evaluated it through multiple studies of hundreds of thousands of kids. And the first one of several was the Denmark study, where they looked at every child born in Denmark from 1991 to 1998, in which vaccination was optional. So 18% of kids were not vaccinated out of 537,000 kids. And yet, and this is published in the New England Journal of Medicine, the premier medical journal on Earth, in 2002, the first author's name is Madsen. Anyone can go read it for free. Mm-hmm. What they found is that the kids that were not vaccinated actually had a higher risk of autism than the kids that were vaccinated, although that was not statistically significant. So we every other study since then has followed it up. Parents would have a reasonable question, though. Parents don't want, autism is a tough disease. It really changes the life. So parents have a very reasonable question. Okay, well, doctor, if it's not vaccines, then what's causing this rise in autism? And we're starting to get an idea about what the answer to that is as well. And I think that's important in debunking the myths around vaccines, because as long as parents are scared about their children, they'll believe what their friend tells them.
Exactly. So where are we at right now, or is this still being studied in terms of what is the actual cause of the uptick in autism?
Yeah, so that's a great so we are starting to get some ideas. So it's like cancer. You know, smoking causes cancer, but not all smokers get cancer. Mm-hmm. And so you really need two things. You need a genetic predisposition, and then you need some environmental triggers. So if smokers that get cancer, they have a genetic predisposition, and then they smoke, and those two things together in a minority of cases, about 1%, will trigger a lung cancer. Similarly with autism, we have a pretty good idea of several genes that are implicated. And then what are these environmental triggers? So they're all, several things have all been implicated, and all of these things are rising in society. And so they're probably all contributing. Those things include having older fathers, having older mothers. So both an older father and an older mother, rates of childbirth among the age of childbirth is rising in our society. Both of those are independent risk factors for autism. Maternal obesity and diabetes, something else that's going up in our society, has also been linked to autism. Other things include taking certain prescription drugs during pregnancy. You know, there's a lot of people that are given certain drugs in pregnancy, and we're still trying to figure out exactly which ones they are. We know of two for sure. There's a drug for bipolar disorder, which definitely causes autism. That's called Depakote or valproic acid. And then there's others as well. And then there are other things, you know, viral infections in the first trimester. That's been shown to be significantly linked. And all of these things are consistent with a womb where the child's brain is developing that is not is not perfect, you know, mm-hmm. is inflamed in some way, and the brain doesn't develop the right way. And then you get this spectrum of different phenotypes, different appearances of the disease based on the gene involved in the trigger. That's why there are so many different types of autism that we see.
Right. You know, Rob, you talk about misinformation right now. I think because measles has not been around, you know, since 2000, as you reported, we said, hey, we don't have to deal with measles anymore. But now here we're coming back, and people are still approaching measles like, you know, chicken pox or something that's just so minor and benign. But as you pointed out, it's really serious. And I got to imagine when you hear these stories about people having measles parties in order to, you know, somehow inoculate their children. It's like, well, let's get all the kids together in a room and let's just spread the disease even more. You go, whoa, wait a minute. You don't understand what you're playing with here, do you?
Yeah, no. What they should do is get the vaccine. So what those parents are doing is what we used to do before we had vaccines, because it is better to be exposed younger than older. If somebody old with measles, the symptoms are more severe. So that's what they're doing. But what they should instead do is just go get the vaccine. And I understand their concern. They see things on the internet. Their friend tells them something. They don't know what to believe. So your pediatrician's job is to explain these things to you. So please go to your pediatrician and talk to them and say, I have this concern about the vaccine and measles, and I don't know what to believe, because everybody knows the internet's full of garbage. And how do
right.
we define this? The pediatrician has been through 11 years of schooling at a minimum, and it's his job to take out the Denmark study and all the other studies and explain to you how we know this. And then you can achieve the same thing, measles immunity for your child. What people need to realize, though, is that measles is such a severe disease, it does have an effect on your immune system. So back in the 60s, when we introduced the measles vaccine, we actually saw mortality among children go down faster than could be explained by measles alone. And we finally figured that out a couple of years ago. It was a big article in Science that got a lot of popular coverage, that measles actually shocks your immune system and makes you more susceptible to other things. So these measles parties, I understand what they're trying to do, inoculate their kids, but we have a vaccine for that.
Right. Maybe you should have the party where you can get the vaccine and not expose your children. Maybe that's the proper alternative, as you say. By the way, use your pediatrician as a resource, because they're dealing with this on a daily basis, are they not?
Exactly.
Right. Well, Dr. Robert Cohen has been our guest. Rob, thank you so much. Appreciate it. Congratulations on DemoCrisis, your podcast. How can people be in touch with you?
Yeah, so I would really encourage them to download the DemoCrisis podcast. We talk about a lot of these issues, about how we distill down through the great challenges of our time. You can go to DemoCrisis.com.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial. Just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.